So 1 Kings chapter number 3, we will be reading responsively as our custom is, from verses 3 down to verse 15. So chapter 3 of 1 Kings, verse 3 down to verse 15. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3 in verse number 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.' And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants." And let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you again for, God, your word. And Lord, in a society, a city, a state, a country, a world, it's so uncertain many times, God, we are thankful, we're blessed that we have a more sure word. God, we have the truth that changes not for eternity. God, thank you that we as your people can stand upon it and it can be a foundation for our lives. Please be with Pastor Myers as he preaches your word to us this morning. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Often I stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for man, no peace could be found. Praise God, I am glad that he didn't come down. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were kept all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture his mother there with with tears in her eyes, as they mocked and scorned him and pierced his side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But he prayed, forgive them, and he didn't come down. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. With 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. With 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. But he stayed on the cross for you and for me.
All right, thank you for that. We are, and it's seem weird when I say this, I say a lot of weird things, but we're going to have a series of messages over the next few weeks from the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're not going to go verse by verse, we're going to go subject by subject through the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, I guess if you give it a title, it'd be the autobiography of a confused Christian. And if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, and hopefully you have, it can be confusing. It's like, you know, it can almost lead to depression, to be honest with you, as you look at it. And it's really confusing when you realize that it was written by King Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived. You notice that something, you can figure it out if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, that something must have gone wrong in Solomon's life. He seems sour on life. He seems discouraged with everything that is going on and that has happened in his life. The reason for that is that Solomon's life did not end well. Sometimes we don't think about that. The Bible does teach us about us. That's why the book of Ecclesiastes gives us insight into a believer or a Christian whose life goes the wrong direction, and what you can expect to happen in your life if that happens to us. And it teaches us key lessons that can help us. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I think a lot of guys, I like history. How many of you like history? Years and years ago, I'm old enough to remember when the History Channel used to be about history. Okay, now it's about all kinds of nonsense, all right? Used to talk about history, and I like history. I like to read. I like to read biographies. I like to read books by people that have accomplished something, and you can learn something from each and every individual. But there are two types of biographies. The first is a biography that's written by somebody else, and they'll look at a person, and they'll write about their lives, and when somebody else is writing about an individual, they have a tendency to be a little more honest and tell you the good, along with maybe parts of the life that weren't so good. And the other one is an autobiography. That is one that is written by the person about themselves. They have a tendency not to be quite so honest, okay? They have a tendency to make themselves seem a little bit better than they really are. Ecclesiastes is an autobiography, but inspired by God, Solomon tells the truth. And he just lays it all out there for us. Now, you're thinking, wait a minute. If we're going to look at some messages from the book of Ecclesiastes, why in the world did we read 1 Kings? Because before we get into Ecclesiastes and understand Ecclesiastes, we need to understand Solomon. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to look at Solomon, and then next week we'll get into the book of Ecclesiastes. So as we look at Solomon, and we match his life up against the book of Ecclesiastes, you ask yourself, how did that happen? How did he get to where he was, to where he writes this book that is discouraging? Now, if you look through it, you'll be encouraged. How did he get there? Well, here's the title. If I was writing a book about Solomon, here would be the title. Are you ready? Now, I would whistle the tune if I could whistle, but I can't. All right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Remember that? How many remember that? Now, I haven't seen that in a long time, and I don't remember if it has bad parts, but when I was a kid, I watched Clint Eastwood, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I just remember there was three guys. There was the one guy who was the ugly. There was the one guy who was the bad. And, of course, the guy with the fastest gun is the good, okay? But if you look at Solomon's life, you could slice it up into three categories. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, there's nothing wrong with those three depending on the order. Many of us here that got saved a little later on in life, our life was ugly at some point. It was bad. But through the grace of God, it became good. But you know what the sad thing is? When that gets flipped on its head. You get saved and God does great things in your life. God starts to move in your life. You start to grow in your faith. And good is just a relative term, but you become fairly good in your Christian life in a sense. And then you are not careful and it heads downward and it becomes bad. And it ends up becoming ugly. So I want us to look at Solomon. We got 3 points this morning. The first point is, you with me? The good. Do you know what point two is? I'm not going to tell you. You have to stay. But I want us to look at good. Solomon's life was good when he was committed to God and when he was committed to others. Basically, in the scripture that Joseph read this morning, and if your Bibles are open to it, here's what happened. God came to Solomon, the new king, and here's what he says. Ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. That was it. No stipulations. No, you know, even Aladdin, I think they had stipulations on the wishes, right? He said, ask for anything you want, Solomon, and I'll give it to you. We all think about that and think, man, I'd love to have that. How come God is going to ask me for that? Because God knows what you would answer. That's why. And so what does Solomon say? Solomon says, I'm going to be the king of these people, and I need an understanding heart. I've got to be able to discern between, it's interesting, he said the good and the bad. He didn't say the ugly. I guess he didn't see the movie. But he said, I want to discern between the good and the bad. I got to be able to govern correctly. And God said, that's right. And God gave him everything he wanted. So Solomon was good when he had proper priorities. The answer he gave God showed that his priorities were in place. As a king, think of some of the things he could have asked for. I want long life. I want my kingdom to go forever. Now that was kind of already prophesied. I want riches. I want the life of my enemies. He didn't ask for any of that. He said, I want to govern right in your eyes and right in the eyes of these people. I want to help them. He had right priorities. By the way, that's what helps you grow as a Christian. That's how you become, if you want to use the word, you can use the word mature, but let's stick with the outline today. If you want to become a good Christian, that's what you got to do. You take the word of God once you're saved, and you prioritize your life based on the word of God. And you start following those priorities, and God works in your life. And Solomon had right priorities, and that's why God could bless him. How are your priorities today? The two priorities that God gives us in the scripture are very clear. Love me with all your heart and love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Now, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible we're to do. I get it. And that stuff all falls underneath the category of loving God or loving others. But do you really love God? Do you really love others? That's the right priority in our life. We don't prioritize our lives around ourselves. We don't prioritize our lives about what I want, what's good for me. We prioritize our life around loving God and loving others. He had proper priorities. That's why he was good. He had a pleasing attitude. Look at verse 9. He said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and the bad. For who is able to judge so great a people?" He didn't come up and say, "I know what I'm doing. I can handle this." He goes, "No one can handle this. I've got to have your help. Lord, I want to be a good king. I want to help them." What happened in verse 10? And the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. That's the kind of attitude. He had a right attitude about it. Think about it. A young man given this position. Sometimes the power goes to their head, right? You want an example of that? His son, Rehoboam. His son was picking up the pieces of Solomon, the last part of Solomon. And all he had to do was just promise the people, "I'll serve you better and I'll take some of that burden off of you," which is what someone who cares about somebody should want to do. Instead, he said, "I'm going to make it worse." And it didn't work out very well for him. Because when you get power, that just comes with the territory. You got to fight it. But he had a very pleasing attitude to God because, again, his attitude revolved around loving God and loving others. And what was the whole outcome of that? God promised him prosperous blessings. Look at verse 11. And God said, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, neither has asked for the life of those enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Wish granted." But wait a minute. "Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall thou any arise like unto thee." Verse 13. "I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the king like unto thee all thy days." Isn't that amazing? Because he was the right kind of person, and he had the right kind of heart, and he had the right kind of attitude, and he had the right kind of priorities, God said, "You know what? I'm going to give you what you asked for, but I'm also going to give you those things you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you the riches, a long life." By the way, the life of his enemies, very prosperous kingdom. Solomon didn't have issues in his kingdom until he turned away from God. God blessed him because of all of these things. Now, what's the point? The things we are really seeking in this life, all the intangibles that make life tremendous, are not things we find by looking for them, but are byproducts of obedience to God and others. Now think about it. I'm going to say this again. The things we really are seeking for in life, all the key intangibles, are not things we find by looking for them, but are byproducts of obedience to God and love of others. See, we spend our lives trying to fight for the things that we think are going to give us what we want in life, you know, the joy, all that stuff, and you don't get them by searching for them. They're a byproduct of a right relationship with God. But yet we don't believe that. Most people, even those that say they name the name of Christ, go out to say, "Well, I got Jesus in my hip pocket. I got my bumper sticker on my car. I carry a Bible. But the rest of the week, I do my own thing, trying to find meaning in all of those things." And God says, that's not where you get it. If you get the first thing right, everything else is packaged in with it. What are you looking for? We spin our wheels trying to find these things that are only found in a relationship with God. Security in life. Listen, this life is not secure. We need to find our security in God. We look for significance. We want to have a life that's not just, you know, I'm not just here putting my time in. At the end of my life, they lay me in a hole in the ground. I want to live a life that has some type of significance on a day-to-day basis. That's found in God. What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? You know, my friend says they do this, and this looks cool, and that looks like this. Our purpose is found in our relationship with God. What is the meaning of life? Our meaning is found in our relationship with God. And really, the thing that we all are looking for is joy. You don't find joy for looking for it by looking for it. You found joy in your relationship with God, and it spreads to every aspect of your life. If your relationship with God is not right, you may have temporary times of joy. You're not going to have all the time joy. Paul had joy no matter what was going on in his life, no matter what was happening to him, no matter where he was. So we see the good of Solomon. Because he had the right priorities, because he had the right attitude, he had abounding blessings that God just threw in. And God will do the same for you and I. Now, I hope a lot of you are getting to that point or you're at that point. But let's stay at that point. If you're new and you're a new Christian and you're not there, keep going forward. You'll get there. If you're a Christian, it's already, none of us ever arrive, okay? So don't play semantics with me. But you pretty much got that nailed down. You're still growing your faith and things are getting better, but you've pretty much got your Christian life going. Listen, don't backtrack on it. Amen. Don't backtrack on it. Because the second part is the good. The second part of Solomon's life is the bad. He started to compromise in his love of the world. You can turn there. I'm going to quote the verses in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Say, what is that all about? He had horses. He had horses riders. And he had chariots. The problem with that is God told the king, don't do that. Because God didn't want the king to start trusting in anything but him. And he said, so you don't multiply horses, you don't multiply chariots, because what happens is you're trusting in them for your security, you're trusting in them for everything, and you're supposed to trust in me. And if you do, I got everything under control. In 1 Kings chapter 10, it says in verse 21, and all of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were of silver. It was counted as nothing in the days of Solomon. Verse 23, so Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. And all the earth sought to hear Solomon. And they brought him presents and a bunch of things together. Solomon basically, the verses I'm reading here, Solomon was very prosperous. And he started to take that prosperity that God gave him and he started to step outside of the boundaries of God's word. That's what happens to us. We start to follow God. We start to do the right thing. We start to let God work in our life, and things start to go a little bit better. And in our life, I don't know about some of you, and I know some of you, so I can. Some of you came in here, and your life was a mess. My life was a mess. And we get saved, and God starts to work on us, and we start to stabilize. But then we start thinking because we're stable, now we can start stepping over some of God's boundaries. You know, we're headed right back to where we were, or worse. And Solomon, that's a small thing. All this gold and all this stuff and all, listen, Solomon started letting it take a hold of his life. He started loving those things. And by the way, when you say, how do you know that? Well, I've read the Bible. But when we get to Ecclesiastes, Solomon admits to it. He starts to admit to, God didn't just prosper him, he started desiring it, and he started making it his whole life, and it almost ruined him. Love of the world. How hard, now listen to this, please. How hard is it for us as Christians to survive prosperity? And all of us are prosperous, to be honest, in this country. All of us have more than we need. And there's nothing wrong with God blessing your life. But let me just tell you something. The more God blesses you, the more you better put your guard up. The more you better, it would just, Brother Pichardo, it would just seem to me that the more God blesses us, the more we would thank God for what he's doing. Yeah. Instead, sometimes the opposite is true. prosperity ruins us. I don't know what I was reading. I either got an email or in a blog or something. and someone was talking about the places where Christianity is growing the most in this world is in countries where they have the least religious freedom. Because they don't have to fight these things. I'm not saying sell everything you have and give to the poor. Okay? I'm not saying, you know, get rid of everything you have. No, I'm saying if God's blessed you, number one, still be obedient to him, be giving, but don't let it get a hold of you. Our whole life becomes that. Now we don't need God anymore. Oh, we needed him back when our marriage was on the rocks. We needed him back when we walked into church and my life was a mess. But now I'm kind of doing okay. I don't need God anymore. Better watch out. Better watch out. It's something we all have to battle. This is his downward spiral. Solomon had all the things he wanted. And as we read Ecclesiastes starting next week, he wanted more than he had. That is where all of us start the downward spiral. We start doing things that are outside of God's boundaries found in his word. If you want to know what happened to Solomon, 1 John 3:15 started to play out in his life. We know the verse well. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He did. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, if you love God with all your heart, you can't be loving things that are anti-God. I can't love my wife and some other woman. I can't. And by the way, she can't love me and somebody else. I'm not okay with that. God's not okay with it either, right? God says, look, love me. Don't let your love float away somewhere else. Then he tells us how this happens. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, this is not new with me. The lust of the flesh is the desire to do. By the way, Solomon was a doer. The book of Ecclesiastes, he did all these different things and tried to accomplish all these things. And he lusted at himself. I'm going to do all this stuff that I want to do. The lust of the eyes, that's desire to have. Solomon was collecting horses, chariots. He had so much silver that in his day, silver was like nothing. It was nothing at all. Just collecting. By the way, we have that, don't we? Do we want to know that's a problem in our life? Ask ourselves, do I give financially? Do I give my time? Am I willing to give commitments to God? If not, we're just collecting. And the pride of life, the desire to be. I mean, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. People came to them and he paid for the privilege. And it got to his head. Now he started thinking, now I can do what I want and I'm not accountable to anybody. You know, Solomon wasn't accountable to anybody this way, but he was accountable to somebody that way.
Oh, yeah.
He forgot all about that. And he started the downward stride. So he was good when his priorities and his attitude were right. He started doing bad when he let his prosperity allow him to start crossing the boundaries of God's word. And now it gets worse, the ugly. He started being controlled by the choices that he made. Let me say this. We'll look at scripture in a second. You make bad choices, you can't control what happens after that. All you can control is your choices. You cannot control the consequences. You can choose to do what you want. You can choose to step outside of God's boundaries. You can choose to be disobedient. You can choose to become unfaithful to God. You can choose to be unfaithful to church. You can start choosing to do these things you used to do, but you cannot choose where it's going to lead you to. Once it starts down the hill, forget it. What does that mean? Okay, look at 1 Kings 11. Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many what? Strange women. Now, most of us are like, oh, I got one of those living with me. No, not that. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh. What in the world was he doing being married to Pharaoh's daughter? Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. The only problem with that is, number one, he wasn't supposed to have a bunch of wives. He collected women like people collect baseball cards. No, we don't collect termites. He had 700 wives. and 300 substitutes. Now all guys are like, wow. You know, the only people that say wow are those that aren't married. Once you get one, you're thinking, why would I need anybody else? Brother. By the way, it wasn't that he was just collecting women, which was wrong, by the way. God didn't want kings to do that. It was the type of women also he was collecting. Yep. God said, told the Israelites, you don't even intermarry with this people. Man, he had them on the shelf. Date night, who would I want to take? Oh, let's go Zidonian. I mean, why did God not want them to be intermarried with these people? Because they worship false gods. Yep. By the way, the false gods of the people of the land in Canaan were not just like a false god, they were evil false gods. It involved, most of their worship involved immorality, a lot like our senators today, killing babies. Yeah. Now, let me just say this, I don't think I've said this, Brother Pichardo. 44 of our senators says it's okay for a baby that's born alive to be killed. What's wrong with our country? Since you asked, we keep voting these idiots into office. We might want to find out what they believe. I'm not trying to go political, but I'm not voting for anybody that would say it's okay to kill a baby that's alive. Fact of the matter, that's in the womb. We are so hypocritical, and you brought it up, so that's why I'm mad. I was reading a story. There was a hockey player that plays for San Jose. They're not really a hockey team, you know how that is. But plays for San Jose. And it was a sad. His wife lost their baby. She was 28 weeks pregnant. And he was just talking about how it was an encouragement that all the different players in the league were texting him and giving him support. And I think that's a great thing. That same story is reported by a paper that would think it's okay to kill that baby in an abortion clinic. What's the difference? Why is it sad when the baby dies in the womb at 28 weeks, but it's okay to kill the same baby at 36 weeks? You tell me. Back to our regularly scheduled message. I don't even know what we're talking about. Oh, false gods, sorry. By the way, it's funny. The more civilized we become, the less civilized we really are. I'm sorry, we are. Their worship was very, very bad. And you know what? That's what our society is at right now. Yes, sir. But here's the problem. Solomon married into those families. Guess what he started doing? Let's see. Oh, verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. That means be with them. Neither shall they come unto you. For surely, now listen, surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Now, he's just quoting, like, Solomon did this, and by the way, God had already warned a long time ago, you don't do this because they'll turn your heart away from God. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines. He was nuts. And his wives did what? Verse 2. God had already said many, many years earlier, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Why are we amazed when what God says happens? I love everybody. I love this church. We have the best people in church. Sometimes people come to me, and some you're new, and I get it. And you'll say, you know, I'm just going to do this, and it's something that's totally in disobedience to God. Don't come to me with that, please. I'm not going to say, yeah, good idea. But you don't understand. I have to. I'm forced into a position. No, you're not. Always do the right thing. Because what God says is going to happen always happens. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to derail the train. Let's get back to reality here. Verse 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Horrible. And Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. It wasn't just a false god, it was an abomination. You know what abomination means in the Bible? Something that is intensely hated by God. Yes. Okay, you see that word, just remember. And Solomon did what? evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, how come we forget about this part of Solomon's life? And went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And you just read the rest of the verses. He's building altars to these gods. He's turned away from God. Why? Because he was following the wrong influence. We start stepping away from God, and the bad part, and then what happens is now we are under the influence of things which are not godly. Amen. It just happens that way.
Yep.
It just happens. Let's watch ourselves. You can't go from good to the bad without experiencing the ugly.
Yep.
You say, I'm different than her. Can I just tell you something? I'm talking about me, not you. I'm talking about me. If I started disobeying God and started down that hill, you don't be shocked if I get involved in all kinds of nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
I can say this. I've been a Christian for a couple years. I know a lot of people. I've been at this church for 31 years. 31 years in August. Been here the whole time. I can tell you people that have done this. I can tell you good people that if when they were sitting in church, I would have thought, they'll never do anything ridiculous like that, and they did. I've been in ministry now for many, many, many years. I know a lot of pastors. I know a lot of missionaries. And can I just tell you something? I've heard the stories. Pastors, missionaries doing horrific things. You know why they started this? Solomon did it. He wrote Proverbs. We studied Proverbs off and on for 4 years on Thursday night. 70 lessons, and we haven't even finished. Solomon. Do you not think that if Solomon can do that, that I can't do that? That you can't do that? Got to be careful.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making. We get in this. What are your influences? People? I love people, but some people, I'm not going to let them influence me. I'll listen to the radio sometime. I'm driving somewhere, I might put sports radio on. It's like, I'm turning that off. That guy is talking nonsense. I'm done. I'd rather listen to the air conditioner. At least it has more common sense. It feels better too, by the way. What are you watching and listening? What are you reading? What are you learning? We follow the wrong influences, and then it leads to false worship. You say, I would never worship a false god. No, but an idol is really anything that you put before God. Do you know a false god could be anything you put before God?
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Doesn't have to be a false god. It can be almighty dollar. It could be a lifestyle I want to live. It could be an action that I'm involved with. It can be another person that pulls me away from God, and I know they pull me away from God, but they're more important to me than following God. I had a lot of good friends when I got saved, but you know what? I wasn't going to let them drag me down. I brought them to church, but if they didn't want to get on board and follow God, I loved them, I was there for them, but I didn't hang around with them because I knew what I would do. False worship. It leads you a wrong path. Remember this, the direction you're going determines the destination you arrive at. And then we make fatal decisions. Verse 6 said, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. And verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel. Why did this kingdom split? Rehoboam made a really ignorant decision, but let me just tell you something. Before Rehoboam made that decision, which split the kingdom, God had already determined the kingdom was going to be split because of Solomon. Solomon? The Proverbs? And if you're married, Song of Solomon? Careful with that one. And Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes tells the story. Now, we'll get into it next week, but I want to ask you something and we're done. Where are you at today? I don't care if you're at the ugly or the bad, if you're going forward. But too often people come, you know, what do they say? In our country, the average church member lasts 7 years. Is that all the faithfulness we can give to God and then we start to turn? Someone said you don't measure Christianity in years, you measure it in decades. If you want to talk to me about your Christianity, come back in 20 years. If I'm still here. You won't be. But you know what happens? We just struggle to stay on the right path.
Come on.
Let's make a commitment that, you know what? I'm not going to start even deviating a little bit outside the dictates of God's word. That's what Solomon did. Oh, I know what God says, but you know, I can handle these women. I can't handle one. Are you serious? Because she's so wonderful. I can handle this. I know God said don't, but you know, I got this. The prosperity's not going to get me. We're going to find out next week it did. Hey, what direction are you going in? Some of you sitting here, and I love you to pieces. I'd never be mean to you, but you were happier a little while ago because you were fully on board with God, and now you've slipped a little bit. I'm just being honest. You say, I don't like to hear that, then hire someone that'll throw fruit at you. Okay, my job's to tell the truth. I don't know how many people that I've met and they got away from God, and I'll talk to them and say, my life was better when I was serving God. Come back. Make a U-turn. If I'm going somewhere and I'm going the wrong direction, I'm going to turn around because I want to get to where I'm going. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Where are you? You're deceived. Let's stand together.